Through its worldwide resources, EWTN presents a truly global perspective of our Catholic faith. Welcome to the Catholic Sphere. Hi, I'm Brian Patrick, and this week we celebrate motherhood. Mother's Day in the United States is this Sunday, but that date varies around the globe. We'll learn more about that from our returning contributors. Tracy Harkin, a mother of eight, joining us from EWTN in Ireland. Armando Cervantes is at EWTN's Orange County studios in Southern California. Father Elias Leitz, initiator of EWTN in the Low Countries, joining us from the Netherlands. So Tracy, let's start with you. Happy Mother's Day. When do the Irish celebrate this special day for moms?
Well, thank you, Brian. I absolutely love Mother's Day. In Ireland and the UK, it's actually celebrated on the fourth week of Lent. So this year it was actually March 14th. So that changes every year. And it was traditionally called Mothering Sunday. So a little bit different at this side of the Atlantic.
Well, we're going to celebrate you on this Mother's Day as well. And we appreciate you coming back to the Catholic Sphere. Armando, for many of us here in the U.S., Mother's Day is always on the second Sunday of May. But isn't it a more of a fixed date in some of the Hispanic traditions?
That's right, Brian. Yeah, if you grew up in my household, you would be celebrating two Mother's Day. One here in the U.S. on a Sunday, on the 10th, on a Sunday, and I would go to Mass with Mom. I'd go to Ruby's afterwards. We'd pray the rosary together. But on the 10th of May, which is a very fixed date in Mexico and a few other Latin American countries, that's a whole different day. We celebrate with some music, some food. We wake her up by singing. So it's a whole two different ways of celebrating.
Well, I hope the singing's good. Otherwise, it's a rude awakening. Father Elias, where does Mother's Day fall on the calendar there in the Netherlands?
I think it's exactly the same as in the United States, the 8th of May, 9th of May, I think, this year. Yeah.
Tracy, so as a Catholic mom, how do you like to celebrate Mother's Day?
You know, Mother's Day and the way we celebrate it here is almost like another birthday. So it's just so lovely to have all the children at home, especially the grown-up children that have maybe moved away to college or living on their own. It's lovely to have them all together. I really enjoy getting breakfast made by the older children, not having to make a Sunday dinner because it always falls on a Sunday. It's just wonderful. And I get to enjoy the little cards from the little children and the little homemade gifts that they give, and then the sort of more sophisticated presents like flowers and perfume and dinner preparation from the older children. So that's the blessing of having a big family like I do.
You mentioned homemade gifts. I'm going to switch to Father Elias here in a second because, Father, I understand that when you were growing up, whether it was Mother's Day or Father's Day or even birthdays, you didn't buy gifts. You made them, and we did too. That's really kind of special, don't you think?
I think, yeah, and it's very important. We, of course, there are the usual things, bringing mom breakfast in her bed, cooking at her, in her, you know, for her the day. But the most important thing was that we were not allowed to buy any presents for our parents. We used to create something.
Armando, tell us about your Mother's Day and your mother and her role in passing down the faith and how you now do that with your family.
Well, you know, I think she definitely plays, continues to play a vital role in sharing the faith. And I think it's just been her witness, her daily witness. I mean, to this day, I have text messages every Sunday, every feast day, asking us about Mass. Did we attend? Are we going? And I think I'm just trying to pass that same witness along to my family. You know, I want my daughter to see me praying the rosary. I want to walk, you know, around the neighborhood and pull out my rosary beads and pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet, because it's those ordinary moments that I saw my mom living her faith and continuing to live her faith that I want my children to see that, because I think that teaches a lot. That shares a lot.
Well, one of the reasons I'm here, if not the reason, is my mom lived her faith, and she constantly showed me how she relied on God. Funny story about my mom. I was born on Mother's Day, so I called her on my 50th birthday. She was 40 when I was born. I said, "Mom, I just wanted to thank you for giving birth to me. I was born on Mother's Day." She said, "You're 50?" She says, "I must be an old lady." I said, "Yeah, Mom, you're 90. She had had a stroke, and she goes, "I am?" So with our aging parents, I want to talk a little bit about that. Father, can you speak to our responsibility for caring for aging mothers and fathers? How can we stay present for them, even under challenging circumstances? Say they have to be in a facility for Alzheimer's or any other medical reason. How can we still be present to our aging parents?
Well, it demands an effort. In Europe, it's maybe a bit different because of the welfare state. But a lot of old people, they are like locked up in their homes. And apart from the financial aspect that it's no longer affordable for the state, I think it's very important to remain, to keep up the contact with your parents and pay attention to them. It does them an awful lot of good. And when I visited my father in his old people's home after my mother's death, I know that he had this very strange reputation because people were amazed that he got a visit so often. Mm-hmm. Because his kids were visiting him very often, and we had a drink, a prayer, a little reading from the Bible, and a walk around, and it was great.
Let's tie in Mother's Day with our Mother Mary. We're going to talk more about Mary in the next segment, but Tracy, let's go to you. What special devotion might we add to our Mother's Day celebration to honor our Blessed Mother?
You know, our Blessed Mother is such an inspiration for all mothers. She, as the mother of Jesus, Brian, she had so many special moments in her life. You know, when we recite the rosary, we can delve into that. The moments as a mother, the joyful moments, the sorrowful, the glorious moments, and then those moments of light, which was just unexplained grace. And I think as mothers, from our little babies are so tiny, right through infancy to adulthood, we go through many different moments as mothers with our children. It's a real journey. And one beautiful initiative that I'm part of is called Mother's Prayers. And Mother's Prayers is an initiative that started with two English grandmothers in the 1990s in England, and it's spread to over 100 countries throughout the world. So in my home, for example, I have a little weekly group of mothers and some grandmothers that come together, and we pray for our children specifically. We place their names in a basket, and we beg God's protection on them, and we thank God for the blessing of motherhood. And through that prayer movement of Mother's Prayers, so many prayers have been answered for mothers throughout the world. And I just think it's a beautiful initiative, and I'm so privileged to be part of it.
Well, I love that, the blessings of motherhood. Next on the Catholic Sphere, venerating Mary around the world, plus a sweet surprise you don't want to miss. Stay with us on EWTN, the Global Catholic Network. Welcome back to the Catholic Sphere, EWTN's weekly global perspective of our Catholic faith. I'm Brian Patrick, and we welcome back Armando Cervantes in Southern California, Father Elias Leitz in the Netherlands, and Tracy Harkin in Ireland as our contributors this week. So faith and food go really well together. Just think about it. Jesus often shared meals with his disciples, and Catholic families have been doing the same for generations, especially on days like Mother's Day. Father Leo Padlinghug previews our Savoring Our Faith episode airing this Mother's Day on EWTN.
So technically, Mother's Day isn't even a religious holiday or a feast day, but it kind of is, because if you actually look at the word religion, it comes from either two etymologies, relegare, which means to give something up, which is exactly what moms do. They give up everything for their children, or religere. And religere literally means to be bound together. And if there's something that moms want on this special day, is to bring their families together. And because moms made some sacrifices, I'm gonna be sacrificing and baking. If you know anything about my style of cooking, I don't bake. But because I love you so much, Mom, we're gonna be baking some pie crusts because they're gonna be filled with some deliciousness.
So if you want to know what Father's baking, watch that episode on Mother's Day, Savoring Our Faith with our dear friend, Father Leo. Don't you just love him? Here on EWTN, the Global Catholic Network. Armando, let's talk about food with you. What's your favorite food that your mom enjoyed on Mother's Day?
Well, I mean, probably any Mexican delicacy that her kids cooked up is anything she would have. Although once in a while, you know, if you're familiar with the California cuisine, she would love a good In-N-Out burger.
What's on an In-N-Out burger?
Well, you know, you got two pieces of meat, you got a very special spread and some cheese, and that goes a long way.
You're making me hungry. All right, Tracy, what is your best memory of your mother?
You know, my best memory of my mother, she's still very much in my life today, praise God, is that she was always there. She was, like many women in her generation, most women, she was a stay-at-home mom at a time when that was seen as a really good thing. And she was just took such an interest in our lives. She just wanted us to have so many more opportunities than she had growing up. But my favorite memory is the little family concert she used to put on. She used to make us sing and play guitar and perform and recite poems. And looking back now, that was a wonderful foundation sort of to build our confidence for public speaking or whatever else we went into. So I have a lot to be grateful for with my mom.
Well, I bet she just loves the fact that she has 8 grandchildren, at least in your family, probably more all the way around. Let's talk about grandmothers a little bit, because really that is such a key role, don't you think, grandparents? Tracy?
Absolutely. Absolutely. My grandmother on my maternal side is 97 years of age. And, you know, she's beginning to forget some things. We visit her regularly. She has well over 100 grandchildren and many more great-grandchildren. She's a real matriarch. And when I go in to visit her in her little home, the family care for her around the clock now at the moment, she will always remember the mysteries of the rosary. So she might forget what day it is, but she'll always remember the mysteries of the rosary. And that's the memory of my grandmother growing up, is that she passed on that those traditional devotions to her children and now to her grandchildren.
Yeah, they become part of us. I know that my mom, when after a stroke, she had a hard time speaking again, but she knew all the prayers and all the songs because she didn't need her brain to do that. They actually came automatically, and that helped her get her speaking back. So, Father, your mother, I'm sure, raised you in such a way that eventually led to your priesthood. Tell us a little bit about that formation.
Well, my parents are liberal Protestants. They were. They both have died now. But my parents both have always encouraged me to look for the truth and never stop before I found something worth. And they've always had a lot of respect for my vocation, which is quite amazing, actually. And they have encouraged me. My father, when I told them that I was going to find a congregation somewhere to enter into religious life, my father just looked very silently and said, "Whatever you do, do it well." And my mother just cracked up crying, and she said, "I give you back to God," very simply. Mm. So they had a very deep religious respect. And I must say, the end of it all is that my mother became a Catholic on her deathbed. So they grew with it, actually.
That's a beautiful story, Father.
Yeah,
You know, when just do whatever it is, do it well, and we give you back to God. Such simple lines. And it makes me think about Mother Mary at the wedding feast of Cana, where she tells the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." And basically, yeah, She's telling us that. Do whatever Jesus tells you. You know, not all women are physical mothers. Some can't have children. Others are called to a religious or single vocation. I'm thinking of St. Catherine of Siena. We recently celebrated on the liturgical calendar. Tracy, how do you view spiritual motherhood?
Brian, I love the concept of spiritual motherhood. I've seen it lived out many times. You know, the whole idea that because you're not a physical mother, a biological mother, women embrace their maternal motherhood, their spiritual motherhood, that sense of feminine maternity that every woman possesses. And I'm thinking especially of women that can't have children of their own or are single, and especially also of those consecrated women. And what a gift, you know, as a mother with a large family, to have other women, other godly women in my children's life to support them, to give them that personal attention and help me in my child raising and the formation of my children. I think it's an absolute gift to have those women in our lives.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by the story of St. Catherine of Siena, a very young woman. Mm-hmm. She died in her 30s, and she was extremely influential in the church. In fact, she went to Avignon, France, where the papacy had been set up, and convinced the Pope to go back to Rome. Convinced him rather emphatically, by the way. Father Elias, why do you think we refer to the church as Mother Church?
Well, let's first say it's a mystery. Don't give an answer too easily. There's motherhood in God, but God is a father. So there's something very mysterious going on. And I think the mystery is really about God being gift. God is gift. He gives us a mother. And the church is really the thing that God has given to humanity from the treasures of his wisdom. And so the church as really the keeper of wisdom, I think there she is especially a mother. And of course we have wisdom in person, which is Our Lady. But I think motherhood and womanhood in general always have to do with wisdom and with gift. Whereas I would say a father, fatherhood has more to do with necessity. And, you know, God is a father. He eternally exists.
And in motherhood, there is certainly continuity and unity as well. As you watch the Catholic Sphere on EWTN, next up, Pope Francis clarifies the role of Mary in salvation history. Stay with us. Thanks for joining us for the Catholic Sphere, the weekly global perspective of our Catholic faith. Father Elias Lades is with us from the Netherlands this week, Tracy Harkin from Ireland, and Armando Cervantes in Orange County, California. During his general audience around March's Solemnity of the Annunciation, Pope Francis addressed Mary's role as our mother, saying, "Jesus extended Mary's maternity to the entire church when he entrusted her to his beloved disciple shortly before dying on the cross. From that moment on," he says, "we have all been gathered under her mantle." Tracy, I want to talk about this. What a powerful moment. As his earthly body was about to expire, Jesus was thinking about us and our need for motherhood. Isn't that a sacred vocation? Do you see it that way?
Absolutely, Brian. It's such a wonderful moment in salvation history to contemplate. You know, the title that Jesus gave us for his mother was mother. You know, it was his dying wish that she become our mother. And motherhood is a sacred, such a dignified vocation in a world which has demeaned it, which has demeaned stay-at-home moms, which, you know, applauds women that sacrifice their family for careers, is seen as a really good thing, where women that sacrifice their careers for their family are often looked down upon. And I think we need to reclaim the dignity of motherhood, the importance. There's nothing more important than bringing a unique, unrepeatable little living human being that's going to live for all eternity into the world. And as I've grown older, as my family's grown, I have grown it so much in my appreciation of the absolute gift of motherhood. And I think it's something we really need to teach our young women in particular to reclaim in today's culture and to be very proud of.
And I think we need to teach our young men to show that respect and love for motherhood. That's something that we can't do as guys, but we do appreciate our moms and all of the moms throughout the world. Father Elias, Pope Francis talked about Mary's mantle. I wonder how that offers all of us a forever family, all of us who follow Jesus. You know, that idea that we're under Mary's mantle gives us this spiritual family for now, in this life, and in the next.
Yes, heaven is a place to live, but it's a living place. And I think it's the divine communion of Our Lady with the Holy Spirit. That's what that mantle means. Of course, we use metaphors because nobody knows exactly what the Holy Trinity is. So we have to use that kind of image. But Our Lady, yeah, we are under her mantle. We are united by her. She is always with us. She is God's giving presence. You can elaborate very long on it. It's a very, very profound theme.
And it's his own mother that he gave to us right there at the foot of the cross.
Absolutely. And yeah, and of course it's very mysterious. You can meditate forever about the simple fact that the one who is the source of all giving actually wanted to receive everything from a human being, from a creature. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is giver, but before that he was gift. He was given.
And it's not something to take lightly. These words were spoken on the cross. He didn't waste any words on the cross. When he handed us Mary is our mother. He really meant it. And what a great blessing. Armando, Mexican Catholics vigorously honor Mary under the title of Our Lady of Guadalupe. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about how that apparition to San Juan Diego transformed the culture in Mexico.
Yeah, I mean, I think in so many ways it's transformed not just the culture, I mean, the world in some ways. I mean, here in the Diocese of Orange, she's the patroness of our diocese. In our Christ Cathedral, we have a beautiful mosaic of Our Lady of Guadalupe. I think she really just followed, in some ways, Jesus's footsteps. She went to St. Juan Diego, to the lowliest of all people, and said, "You are my beloved." Right? And I need your voice. I need you to speak up. And through five apparitions in December of 1531, she was able to raise up, right, the beauty of faith, the power of faith. And not only that, it didn't transform just St. Juan Diego. It transformed really an entire nation to bring faith to life, to bring, to bring the experience of faith in a very tangible way. And we talk about, you were talking about the mantle, right? It was the image on St. Juan Diego's chest that really continues to be, in some way, a testament to the beauty of Our Lady.
Yeah, that image is so powerful in the sense that it was not created by an artist, by a man. It was created by a spiritual artist, and it's preserved in Mexico City, and that's a beautiful part or picture of that there at Christ Cathedral in Orange County. Tracy, in Ireland, it's Our Lady of Knock, but there are also many other little smaller grottos around Ireland, aren't there?
That's right. Ireland's devotion to Mary is very visible. For anybody that visits the country and travels around, there must be hundreds and hundreds of beautiful roadside shrines from off main roads or down little country roads. And often they're for Lady of Lourdes and St. Bernadette. So Ireland is a very, very special devotion to the story of Lourdes. And I just think it's and often these grottos have special committees which look after them and make sure that there's fresh flowers there. But it's something that when you're living in Ireland, you sort of take for granted. But whenever you go to other countries, you see it's not really the same. Unfortunately, in the north of Ireland, where I'm actually from, we can't have as open devotion to Our Lady because of the political situation here. But definitely for most of Ireland, the Republic of Ireland, these roadside grottos are commonplace. And they're just lovely. And often when we're out driving around as a family, you can stop off and just spend a few quiet moments in prayer along the roadside.
Father Elias, do we see any of that in the Netherlands?
The region where I am, yes. There is quite some chapels dedicated to Our Lady, quite a few around here. But it's not all over the place. It's in the north, there are none. They've been destroyed.
That is sad. And here in the United States, you'll see a statue of Mary in a lot of yards. But those lovely grottos in Ireland, they really, really inspire us to be a little more open in our devotion to our Blessed Mother, especially during this beautiful month of May as we approach Mother's Day. We want to thank you, Father Elias Lades in the Netherlands, Tracy Harkin in Ireland, and Armando Cervantes in Southern California. I'm Brian Patrick. Next week, we're going to focus on the Ascension of our Lord and the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima. We wrap up this week's show with beautiful images of Our Lady from the streets of Rome, these from our Rome Bureau at EWTN.